This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. If you just joined us, I'm Sherrod Kutin, Tan Chung Han and Kusu Chuang with me. And we have the top business stories of the day. Just before that, we announced earlier that WhatsApp had gone down globally. WhatsApp had gone down globally. It's now come back up. So it's WhatsApp.
WhatsApp is back up.
Yeah, there you go.
So WhatsApp. Okay. Now going to global stories, we have the Fed rate and also Facebook, two F's.
Yes, sure. If you want to draw a commonality there, sure, the two F's. Let's start with the first F, then the Fed.
Double F on a Friday. What else?
No, it's a Thursday.
Oh, my God. You see, I'm thinking ahead. Okay.
Anyway, so the Fed has decided not to raise U.S. interest rates as widely expected. Obviously, now we've got to look ahead to June, though. But I think some of the key takeaways from the announcement that came out early this morning, Malaysian time, was that firstly, the Fed acknowledges that the U.S. economy has been slowing down, although, they're expecting it to be temporary, so to speak. And also, secondly, there was no mention about how they're going to go about paring down their balance sheets.
Yeah, I think $4.5 trillion worth and counting since that bond buying program was tapered. But we've got four or five more Fed meetings till the rest of the year. And Ben LeBron actually reckons that could be, the market could be in store as much as four more hikes.
Wow.
Markets priced in two rate hikes for the rest of the year. But any bit more than that, you would see some kind of impact on the dollar index.
Yeah, so if you look at the Fed funds futures rate, that's a way of, gauging what markets expect in terms of the next Fed rate hike, when that will be. So if you look at the June meeting, June 13th to 14th, so next month, there's a 90% chance that the Fed will hike it up again. Then after that, you've only got, four more meetings? And then, if markets are expecting two more this year, so they've got four more meetings after June to hike it at least one more time.
Explain to me this. Does it always only go in one direction? Is it always a hike? Could it be actually bringing interest rates down as well?
This point in time in the US, it's been near zero for 9 years. So it's been very, very cheap to borrow money in America, and it's been very cheap to borrow money in the rest of the developed world for years and years.
Right. So as they see a sign of recovery, the Fed is now pushing rates up because they feel that they can afford to at this point in time without dampening economic activity.
But that's the problem, see, because the data has not been unambiguous. It's always been kind of like a bit here. And the recent data, whether it's auto sales, which is down for the fourth straight month, whether it's GDP from Q1 of just 0.7%, whether it's March inflation of just 0.3%, and I think those prices quite low on a multi-year basis. That data has not been equivocal in terms of supporting a rate tightening curve, and that's the problem, because if it kind of dissuades the Fed from tightening rates, and then the markets are in for another roller coaster ride.
Exactly. So markets are pointing to that 0.7% first quarter GDP
mark,
right? And then inflation as well. But other analysts or other comments are saying that, that's not quite the whole story, though, because if you look at the labor side, it's a pretty tight market, right? And
I don't believe the jobs data. You know what I mean? Because ever since unemployment used to be around about 8.5-9% in America 3-4 years ago, is now down to about 4.5% or something. But then that's because a lot of Americans are not even on the register anymore. You've got something like 50 million Americans which is on the dole. Essentially, they're on they're on food stamps, and they're not even covered by employment data.
So what about other central banks around the world, ECB, European Central Bank, or the BOJ, the Bank of Japan, or the PCO,
PBOC,
PBOC,
the PBOC?
About those central banks? I mean, global markets only ever focus on obsessive focus on the US Fed.
Well, no, I mean, obviously you got to look at other central banks as well. And a theme over the last couple of years has been the monetary policy divergence. In other words, you got the US always looking to hike, going up one way, whereas with Japan and the ECB is going the other way, right? So you got this divergence going on. But I think now also a key theme now is inflation. You've got everyone from the Reserve Bank of Australia, RBA, to ECB. ECB, BOJ, you know, etc., even the BOE, Bank of England, all saying that, you know, even with these higher than average inflation figures, mainly due to higher global energy prices, they are willing to tolerate that for a while. And, you know, Bank Negara as well, you know, inflation, that's something they got to look at as well. So central banks all over the world have to manage, you know, their economic growth concerns versus inflation or versus what the currency is doing, and try to find a monetary policy that is, as Bank Negara calls it, accommodative for, you know, all these different factors.
Also, moving on, we look at Facebook. Facebook now reaching a scale that's continental, I think. That's the only way to describe it. Almost 2 billion people on Facebook. And what does this mean for the company's earnings and the market perception of Facebook?
All right, so 1.94 billion users here. So that's, you know, yeah, like you said, almost $2 billion. Now, when you look at Facebook's overall revenue, though, 85% of total ad sales in the last quarter came from the mobile space, you know, mobile ad revenue. So, you know, it tells you again that there is plenty of growth, you know, especially what was seen in the first quarter of this year. Sales climbed 49% to over $8 billion US dollars. Net income rose to above $3 billion US dollars. You know, so you've got all these growth story going on. But looking ahead, though, there appears Chuang, and I believe there's been some comments here that there may be a slowdown ahead in terms of, you know, the kind of mobile ad sales, right?
Well, the market's been expecting Facebook's ad growth to slow down for some time. And when you look at it on a linear basis, on a quarterly basis, Facebook revenues have not been going up astronomically in one direction. I mean, they had a drop from Q4 15 to Q1 16. They had a drop there, and then there's the recent quarterly, first quarter of 2017, has actually been a sequential drop from Q4 2016. So Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, actually went on an analyst call, and in the wake of her comments confirming the fact that revenue growth is slowing, Facebook shares actually dropped by, I think, around about 4% odd.
Yeah, but nevertheless, you know, with Facebook's growth story, I mean, they are still making a lot of money. And it's interesting because they're still using it to basically, you know, expand this Facebook empire, and you know, all these other businesses from, you know, Messenger, you know, WhatsApp, although they had some challenges earlier this morning.
Well, not for very long, though, I must say.
Well, you know, WhatsApp did make a comment there, you know, saying that they I think ours is backup. Is that right? I haven't checked recently.
Cool. Well, you know, back to Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO, she talks about quality over quantity ads. And I don't quite understand this. I mean, from a business perspective, is there some difference?
That's what you say to placate markets when revenue is slowing down. I mean, we look at Q4 2016, Facebook booked $8.8 billion in revenue. Q1 2017, they booked $8 billion. I mean, that's a 10% drop in revenue. That's a lot. Do you know what I mean? So if you're a CEO and you're trying to placate markets and your share price is dipping, you say you're going for quality over quantity.
Okay, well, if you're taking a fake.
Because when you look at Facebook users, 2 billion users, actives around about 1.3, you've got to be going for volume. You can't be going for quality.
Okay, so if you take her at face value, what would it mean? mean to talk about quality ads over quantity ads? Is this something to do with the user experience? I mean, what does it actually even mean?
I think you've got to ask Sheryl that one, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you want to have, big, chunky, you know, revenue from a lot of people as opposed to little tiny bits and morsels from many, many billions of people. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Also in the news, I think related to Facebook, is kind of the social side of it. Facebook apparently is adding 3,000 reviewers to combat violent videos. That's a huge number of people, employed just to look at maybe hate videos and things that, you know, Facebook really wants to get off its own platform.
Right. You know, I mean, if you recall those really tragic instances, I believe in Thailand, where there was a gruesome murder, you know, that was captured on Facebook Live, you know, and other instances in the U.S., you know, like it's time that Facebook as a platform, you know, then takes ownership, right? And so it also fuels market talk, you know, whereby Facebook is no longer, you know, despite their claims of just being a tech company, that's no longer the case, though. You know, it's very much
become a media company.
Yeah, exactly, a media company. And in fact, you know, Zuckerberg has gone about and made all these investments in video, right? If you recall, just recently they rolled out that daily video thing, like to emulate Snapchat.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of investments in Instagram, and you know, even Chuang, giving him a shout out here, he's jumped on the Instagram bandwagon.
No, I've always had Instagram. Oh, yeah. He's in private. I've been posting videos like he's going out of fashion, but it's always been private. Now I've decided to open the floodgates.
Yes. Oh, it's floodgates number 37.
My latest
not
video.
1,000, just 37.
39. My latest video is about Sharad dancing. Actually.
Whoa, really?
6:43 in the morning, the floor dancing.
So. I see. He didn't even ask me. I think there's a privacy clause in this that should be respected.
Yeah, my
privacy.
And also keeping in mind, those are all in Chuang's private, personal videos. Doesn't reflect the views and opinions of BFM or any of his colleagues.
Only Sharad dances at 6:43 in the morning. Only Sharad.
We'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.